You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
Hi, DXers. Radio Buffs, Bill Wayne here for Market Scope, the monthly spot on this cassette where we look at the radio dials in cities and towns all over this great planet. For February, we will feature Waco, Texas, courtesy of Gary Kettler and Dale Hamm. First, the AMs, and then we'll start the FMs this month on Market Scope.
Hello there, everyone on the DX Audio Service. This is Dale Hamm
and Gary Kettler
coming to you from Austin, Texas. October of 2003, Gary, I did a Market Scope of Waco, Texas.
Good old Waco.
Yep, looks like I got four of them here on the AM side. 1010, 1230, 1580, which is simulcast on 1660, so what, three and a half?
Yeah, three and a half.
Yeah. Where do we start? It sounds like 1010 is saying KBW, but that's not the correct call sign.
The actual call sign is KBBW, and they are, I believe, pretty much a Christian talk station with one or two secular talk shows thrown in. I think they have Clark Howard on there in the afternoon. They may have some other ones in the evening that are not Christian.
Okay, then moving on up to 1230. I don't recall what the call sign is. What is it?
I believe it's still KWTX. I haven't heard them ID it. I can hear them here a little bit, but I have not heard their top hour, so I'm assuming they're still KWTX, and their talk, they have Limbaugh and possibly Dr. Laura. I think they have some ESPN stuff, and they have a local guy on in the morning.
Since it was a Saturday weekend recording, there was a lot of talk of football, college ball, and Baylor and such as that.
Yeah,
going on,
so. Yeah.
Move on up to 1580, which is twin to 1660. So.
Yeah, 1580 is KRZI, and they really don't go very well north to south. You can
sure
be 20 miles out of Waco, or 20 minutes, I should say, out of Waco one way, and you really don't hear them, and you go through Waco, and then 20 minutes the other side of Waco, they go away. So they have some sort of weird pattern, and I'm not sure where they send it.
Okay, that covers the AM, so here they are.
A reminder from 1010 KBW. This Saturday, Waco will host the Mrs. Christian World International Pageant. One lady will be crowned the title of Mrs. Christian World. Attend this international pageant 5 p.m. this Saturday at the Holiday Inn Auditorium, I-35 and Martin Luther King in Waco. Tickets on sale at the Compass Christian Bookstore or call 254-580-8193. The Mrs. Christian World International Pageant this Saturday, 5 p.m. in Waco. This has been a public service reminder from 1010 KBW. Coming to Waco on Tuesday, September 30th. Hillsong Music Australia. Share an amazing evening of praise and worship at the Farrell Center on the Baylor campus as thousands of passionate voices unite in worship with Darlene Check and the Hillsong worship team. From Sydney, Australia, they bring a group of over 20 musicians and singers, backed up by a choir of over 100 voices, plus a special message from Hillsong Church Pastor Brian Houston. This is a first for Central Texas, and admission is free. So join us Tuesday night, September 30th, 7 p.m. at the Farrell Center on the Baylor campus for an evening with Hillsong. From I-35, exit east on University Parks Drive, and look for the Gold Dome Arena on the left. Admission is free. You don't need a ticket. We'll see you Tuesday, September 30th in the Farrell Center.
Christian talk is real talk. Real talk. 1010 KBW. KBW. KBW Waco Marlin. Central Texas KBW. Real talk radio. The time is 10 o'clock.
Country
of well, 9 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome at home with Gary Solon. Feel free to join us doing a little home repair, home maintenance this weekend, like every weekend. Quick reminder, too, we're here answering your questions. That's 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's Saturday, and also 9 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on Sunday. So make note of that. That's when I'm here answering those questions. 800-823-TALK. To Yellow Springs, Mike, welcome.
Hey, Gary,
we'll continue. We've got more at home with Gary Sullivan.
News Talk 1230 is KWTX-AM Waco, a clear channel station. It's 10 o'clock.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Brian Carey. President Bush and Russian President...
News Talk 1230.
make sure you have us on the first preset on your radio in the house, in the car, and at work. Stay in touch and stay informed with Waco's only talk station, News Talk 1230.
It's the Big 12 opener versus Colorado. Following an open day this Saturday, it's the Bears and the Buffs in the Big 12 conference opener Saturday, October 4th. Make note of the time change, 11:30 a.m. for the kickoff for Baylor and Colorado. The Bears and the Buffs, Saturday, October 4th in Waco.
Every game, all season long, here on the flagship station for Baylor Bear football, Waco's ESPN Radio, KRZI. Your station for the Dan Patrick Show, KRZI 1580 Waco and KRZX 1660 Waco, Waco's ESPN Radio.
AV Network News, I'm Jackie Bechara. President Bush and Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Okay, Gary, here comes the FM for this month. Hello, everyone, again on the DX Audio Service. Looks like we got several, quite a few here in Waco.
Yeah, there are quite a few there.
89.9, is that about where it starts?
Yeah, I think that one's new, and I'm not sure. I don't know a lot about it, because I've heard just enough to know there's some sort of Christian programming. I think they have some contemporary Christian music on it, and things like that, but I don't know a lot about it. And in the 90s, when I was going through there a lot, they weren't on the air, so
yeah,
I don't know a lot about that.
Okay, what comes after that?
Then you got 92.9, which is adult contemporary. And I think they're satellite-driven some of the time. They don't have one of the, their signal in Waco's fine. They don't go much out of the town. And then next you have 94.5 in Waco, which was originally jazz. But now they are country. When I heard them a few weeks ago, they were local. So that was always good to hear. We're getting ready to go to a football game or something.
Yeah.
When I heard them. And then 95.7 is oldies. That station used to be on 95.5 up until sometime around 99 or 2000. And it used to be fun to go from Austin to Wake, or to going from Austin to Dallas. There are 295.5s in Austin and one in Waco. It was kind of cool to be halfway between the two of them and hear them fight each other.
Yeah, the two signals would just kind of reflect at each other.
You know, you go up a hill, you hear one of them, you go back down the hill, you hear the other.
Yep.
It was pretty fun to listen to that. And then you got 97.5, which is KWTX. And they are way up high on, their tower's way tall, and they're 100,000 watts, and they go a good 100 miles. So you start hearing them 30, 40 miles from Austin, and they go until about 40 or 50 miles to Dallas. So they cover a lot of real estate. And the same thing with 99.9. Waco 100, which is country, and they used to have the station on 1460, which was moved out here recently, and they got a special dispensation, as I understand, in the 50s, and they built the 1460 to get the W call, so they had it spell the name of the city.
Yeah.
And then there's 102.5, the Bear, which is a classic rock. And I believe they're owned by Clear Channel. 97.5, 99.9, and 102.5, I believe, are all owned by Clear Channel. Then you got 103.3, which is KWBU, which we were talking about earlier. They are NPR, owned by Baylor University. They used to be on 107.1 up until a year or two ago, and they put a station up at 107.1 near Dallas. They moved down to 103.3.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's the one that's doing the NPR stuff.
Yeah. Then there's 104.1, which is Spanish, and I don't know if it's still KWOW. In the 90s, it was a pretty interesting little oldie station. They played a lot of off-the-wall oldies that you didn't even hear on the radio back then. They were originally on 103.3, and they moved up to 104.1 sometime, I guess, when KWBU moved to 103.3. And then there's another Spanish station on 107.9, which was kind of a frequency shuffle having to do with the 107.9 near Dallas. They moved that in from Corsicana to Waco, which was about a 50-mile move.
Okay, I guess that's all the FM, so we'll roll them. See y'all later.
See you later.
Hi, I'm Steve Adams, host of the Parkview Hour. We're here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9:30, every Sunday morning. We've got the best in Southern gospel music, along with good old-fashioned preaching. We want to see you this Sunday, 8 a.m., right here on 89.9 FM KBBQ.
This is AFR News. I'm Sherry Black. Days after taking...
Following a week off this Saturday, Coach Guy Morris and the Bears back in action Saturday, October 4th, as the Colorado Buffaloes come to Waco for the Big 12 Conference opener. Make note of the time change. Now an 11:30 a.m. kickoff. That's Saturday, October 4th, for the Bears and the Buffs. The pregame show begins at 11 a.m. Kickoff at 11:30, Baylor, Colorado, Saturday, October 4th, here on Light Rock 92.9 FM.
Continuous Light Rock, Light Rock 92.9.
Your favorite DJ plays back to back all day long. It's Light Rock 92.9 KLRK FM.
That's going to do it for me, Les Parker. You make it a great, safe weekend. I'll see you back here Monday morning at 6 a.m. and we'll start the work week together. Let's get Amy Wyatt in here and get her started off with Kenny Chesney at Lone Star 94 Country, the best country in Texas. I'll see you in the morning.
In for a Saturday. Happy weekend. I'm Amy White. Right now from Django Walker, here's Jose and Jack. The best country in Texas, here's Jody Messina on Lone Star 94 Country. Playing the country hits and your all-time favorites. We're the best country in Texas. Lone Star 94 Country. Grace Atkins on Lone Star 94 Country. I'm Amy White. Hope you're having a great weekend. Be sure to catch all the action and excitement of Texas Longhorn football as they take on Tulane starting at 5 p.m. right here on Lone Star 94 Country, that game in Austin. And we'll have all the action beginning at 5 p.m. right here on your station for Texas music and for Texas football.
Best country in Texas. Lone Star 94, KPCT, Waco.
BGO, Waco. Clean temple for good. A clear, gentle station. Ladies and gentlemen, it's another hour of great songs and good memories.
Only 95, a station everyone can agree on all weekend. And when you get back to work on Monday, kick your day off with the Max and Tammy Show. And long train record.
It's the 1970s Time Machine Weekend. On the station with a million memories.
Oldies 95.
Jim Curtis.
Oldies 95, the oldies station. Having a good time on the weekend. Thanks for turning us on. We've got all the songs for Central Texas, from Harker Heights to Gatesville and beyond.
Oldies 95, the only station where Central Texas comes to hear the greatest music ever made.
Oldies 95, Desperado, and the Eagles,
and it's the Beach Boys. Coming up next, 6 o'clock tonight, Super Gold is back every Saturday night. It's Super Gold, brought to you by the Propane Council. With propane, the grilling season never ends. For information on this exceptional energy, visit usepropane.com.
Oldies 95, the oldies station. Congratulates another Vegas VIP winner.
Oh my God, you're kidding. I'm Jesus Christ. God, you're kidding me. I'm so glad. Oh my God, thank you. Hi, I'm Vicki Smith. 25th, and I'm going to Las Vegas to see the Radio Music Awards, and a shot at $1 million.
You two flip like a Vegas high roller. With your share of over $175 million up for grabs when you live like a Vegas high roller. Listen weekdays at 7:10. Matt and Tammy will announce that day's Vegas Flyaway Artist of the Day.
Later in the day when you hear the official cue to call, followed by that day's Vegas Flyaway Artist of the Day.
Be the 50th nationwide caller to 1-866-525-WINS. 1-866-525-9467 for a chance to win your trip.
You'll have a chance to fly to Vegas and attend the Radio Music Awards in VIP style.
The Radio Music Awards will be seen live on NBC on Monday night, October 27th. You could come home a millionaire. Someone's going to be filthy rich by the end of the night, and it could be you.
$175 million is at stake. Become a millionaire.
Details at 7:10 weekday mornings with Max and Tammy. On Oldies 95.
Your fun at Oldies Station.
Oldies 95, the Oldies Station. A chance at Las Vegas, a trip to Vegas, and maybe $1 million. You're listening for the Flyaway Artist of the Day again on Monday. Your chance to win. Hear the Dells now. And oh, what a night. Oldies 95.
This weekend, we crank up the rock and roll time machine and take a little trip back to the decade of smiley faces, bell bottoms, eight-track tapes, straight bikinis, straight kids.
You are a meathead.
I'm not a crook.
It's the 1970s rock and roll time machine. Oldies 95, the oldies station.
Oldies 95, sundown, Gordon Lightfoot, big hitmaker in the 70s. Chevrolet, your friend in the car business. And coming up, another long set of great oldies for the weekend on Oldies 95, your fun and oldie station.
Here's the latest from Clear Channel Worldwide News. President.
Great oldies
on the band.
Oldies 95.
Thanks, guys, for a great job in catching the IDs. John Barker likes those. Next month, we'll finish Waco's FMs. And don't forget, send us a market scope. We will send you a radio station jingle CD. Send your scope to me, Phil Wayne, 1872 Myers Road East in Marion, Ohio, 43302-8730. Have a great month. See you in 30 days with more radio air checks. Now, here are the musings from the members.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors. Members may muse by calling the Action Line at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is John German in Elmira Heights. I think I can answer Donald Finney's question about radio station in Rochester, New York, 680N Dial. In the very beginning, that was always been for many years, is WRNY, Rochester, New York. But after a while, WRNY would change its call letters in the mid-50s as WRVM, standing for Rochester Voice of Music. Then, by the time we hit the mid to late 60s, it changed its call letters again to WY. N-R, Rochester, New York. And then someone I talked to, James Brother Rather here a short time, he said it got changed again to call letters, and I forgot what he told me. But it's a more of a talk station, I understand now. Then it moved recently to from 680 to 990. I am not sure what 680 has anything in Rochester now. I don't think they do. So for Don Finney, you might want to, next time if you ever come up in the Buffalo or Rochester area, try, I don't think you'll get anything at 680 except for CFTR in Toronto.
Hi there, this is Don Finney in Miami, Florida. For years, I used to think, and maybe it's true and maybe it isn't, you can please tell me if it is or not, or if it was or whatever. I know it's not now, but it used to be. Maybe. But I always thought that radio stations years ago used to have certain power increments, and then there was no exception. The wattage was either 250 watts or 500 watts or 1,000 watts or 5,000 watts or 10,000 watts or 25,000 watts or 50,000 watts. Any variation of those numbers I thought didn't exist, but now you mention all these different stations all over the place and they're different wattages from 1 to 50,000 watts and everything in between. And I was just wondering if that has always happened or if this has happened for a certain length of time and it didn't happen before that or what. I just thought I'd ask that, and if you'll please let me know. Thank you very much.
Hi there. This is Don Finney from Miami, Florida. I'd like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for that wonderful, wonderful article on the history of radio broadcasting recordings, and that was just fantastic. And I haven't heard an interesting thing, something as interesting in that in years, and I mean that literally.
This is Tim Hendel. Rusty Curry wanted to know about the Boston Acoustics Receptor Radio. I reviewed this radio for Ed Potter's magazine Playback about a year ago. This is a very small table radio. For its size, the sound is really good. The FM reception is good. The AM reception is poor. So all you AMers would probably find this radio unsatisfactory, although it's pretty good on FM. For Don Finney, 680 in Rochester went to 990 about 1970 or so, as CFTR in Toronto, also on 680, increased power to where they interfered with Rochester, even within its local coverage area. They got permission to move to 990 and go full-time. They went through several formats. Currently, they're Crawford Broadcasting's Legends. I think the call is WLGZ, but I'm not sure. And at least as of last summer, they were playing Legends, which is sort of like the music of your life. And 680 is dominated by CFTR in Toronto.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, the new station in Kitchener is getting ready to come on. They're already testing at 99.5 Kix Country. And two top disc jockeys will have to 820 Cham in Hamilton after a long time. Joel Christie was there for 20 years, Linda Martelli was there for 12, and they're both going to this new station in Kitchener that's now testing, and they will go on the air at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, February the 6th. I've been getting a station from Cortland, Ohio on 8:30 in the daytime, which I think is a very good catch. Also, Bruce Marshall left 1050 Chum to take one of the jobs at 820 Cham, and they hired a new morning man on Cham that came over from Taillight FM, which is in the same building owned by the same outfit, which is Standard Broadcasting, John Biggs.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. If you have something on your mind, something to say, give us a call today on the Action Line. The number is 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day for DX Audio Service members only. Remember, keep it brief and to the point so everyone has a chance to speak, and you too can be on the musings.
And a Happy New Year, DXers, in February 2004. And Ken Onischuk here in suburban Chicago. And I have a couple items here to pass along here this month. And the first one I want to get out of the way here. The first story that I want to pass along here is from Sky Five Bushes territory out in Rochester, New York. And in their Democrat and Chronicle had a story December 26th that Van Miller at 76 ended a 55-year play-by-play sports announcing career with the Buffalo Bills. That would probably mean either on 550 WGR, 930 WBEN, or WGRF, I believe it is. This came in a wrestling newsletter that I subscribe to. And it says that he started with the Buffalo Bills on their very first game way back in 1960. His 752 games are believed to be the most of any National Football League broadcaster in history. He started doing local wrestling in the early 1950s in Buffalo, both as a radio announcer and ring announcer, and claimed to have been the only living broadcaster to do on radio a Super Bowl game. Actually, he did four of them. Wow. Well, he also did a match with a famous wrestler, too. Okay, I wonder if any other DXers know of any other broadcasters who've been in a career that long in one city, as Van Miller ends a 55-year career at 76. Wow, that's something else. Now I'm in a quiet room away from the cockatiel. Next is a career of a Chicago and Milwaukee broadcaster who died November the 11th, 2003. Born in Chicago, 1927, Lloyd Pettit moved to the Milwaukee area in his youth and shuttled between the two cities the rest of his life. Graduated from Northwestern University in 1950, where he played on the football, basketball, and baseball teams, with a degree in speech and broadcasting, switching his major from journalism after receiving plaudits for narrating a football game in a play. He was soon hired by Milwaukee's WTMJ radio and TV and quickly found himself the anchor of the 10 p.m. TV news. He also broadcast University of Wisconsin football and basketball on radio, plus conducted the pregame show for the Milwaukee Braves games. That versatility attracted the interest of WGN, where he moved to Chicago in 1956, handling a similar schedule. Pettit was a news anchor and radio and TV, and worked in the sports department with Jack Brickhouse, Vince Lloyd, and Jack Quinlan. He joined Brickhouse on Channel 9's coverage of Cubs and White Sox games when Vince Lloyd moved to radio after the death of Quinlan in 1965. Covering the Blackhawks brought Pettit his greatest fame. He worked alongside Joe Wilson on WGN-TV's coverage of the 1961 Stanley Cup playoffs, including handling locker room interviews after the Hawks won the Stanley Cup in Detroit. The following season, WGN televised a limited number of road games, and Pettit called the play. The team's quality and his rat-a-tat style combined to make the broadcast popular, and soon Channel 9 was covering every road game, Pettit always on the scene. His coverage of the 1965-66 season earned Pettit a Chicago area Emmy, and the Hockey Hall of Fame berth came for lifetime achievement at the microphone. The winter travel eventually wore on Pettit, who still spent his summers with the Cubs. He told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, "It got so I didn't want to look at another suitcase or a plane. He's a homebody." By 1969, he remarried. Home was in Milwaukee. He left Channel 9, but continued to broadcast Hawks home games on radio for eight seasons from 1968 through 76. The last shift series were broadcast on WMAQ-AM, and Pettit went on the road only for the playoffs. He would be chauffeured from Milwaukee to Chicago Stadium for every game. Pettit broadcast one more season of road games on WFLD Channel 32 in 1975-76 when he was said to be the highest paid broadcaster in the sport, making $80,000. He fully expected to be back for the 76-77 season, once said, but the Hawks, having lost TV, never called him back. Jim West took over the radio broadcast, and an era was over. The Admirals, Milwaukee AAA team, were purchased by Pettit and his second wife, Jane, heiress to the Allen Bradley manufacturing fortune in 1976. If Pettit had any hard feelings towards his old team, they didn't last. The Admirals were the Blackhawks' farm team for a while. Eventually in the 80s, the Pettits, active in Milwaukee philanthropy, built the Bradley Center, wrote a $71 million check to cover the full cost, and gave the building to the city. It opened in the fall of 1988 with the Hawks playing Edmonton preseason game. The Pettits later donated the lead gift for the Pettit National Ice Center, the training center in nearby West Allis, Wisconsin. His wife died in 2001. He is survived by daughters Leslie, sons Doug, Mark, and Christopher, and eight grandchildren. And a final sports obituary here. The death of former Milwaukee broadcaster Earl Gillespie, 81, of Naples, Florida, diabetes and respiratory illness. The voice of the Braves in 1950, when he stepped down and Merle Harmon followed. He grew up in Chicago and eventually was an all-city baseball player. at Lane Tech High School, played minor league baseball for the Green Bay Blue Jays in the early 40s. Then he joined the Navy Air Corps in World War II, where he experimented with the intercom system. During the football season, Earl would recreate Packers-Bears games and had his friends cheering and yelling. And that helped him get a broadcast job. He began his career in 1947 as sports director at WJPG in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Later, the experience got him hired to do play-by-play for the minor league Brewers in 1951 on WEMP-AM, the number one sports station then. When the National League Braves moved to Milwaukee in 1953, he was hired to join the late Blaine Walsh in the broadcast booth for the next 13 seasons. They were a great combination. Later, Earl joined Channel 6 WITI-TV in 1963 in the sports department until he retired in 1987. Mr. Walsh died in 1985. According to author Kurt Smith, Earl's only regret was that he couldn't broadcast Packer football games. Because he broadcast Braves games sponsored by Miller Brewing Company, the Packers sponsor Hams refused to hire him because he worked for a rival brewer. Rival sponsor, that is. So, Ray Scott was hired, and the rest is history. Earl was survived by his second wife, Betty, three daughters, and one son. That's it for now, friends. I'll probably be back next month with either ratings or baseball information. Any other current information you want to pass along, just give me a call at 815-774-0184. Anytime, answering machine works fine, and I'll be glad to talk to you. Thanks again for now, and good DX. Take care.
You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
Chuck Hutton posted an interesting article in our email list for the National Radio Club, and I thought I'd turn it into a comment for our next musings column. Perhaps people can speculate on this. But Chuck writes, here's another snippet from allaccess.com that paints a little different picture than some previous postings to the list. Don't know who's right or wrong, and as usual, I take the survey data with at least one grain of salt. Signed, Chuck. This is from the Houston-based The Media Audit. The Media Audit has released a new study confirming the time spent with traditional media, that is radio, television, and newspapers, is eroding. Over the past 5 years, time spent with these three primary media has dropped 23 minutes. The multimedia study of 551,819 adults shows that adults spend 7 hours and 36 minutes with radio, TV, and newspapers in 1999. That time had dropped to 7 hours and 13 minutes in 2003. Radio was the hardest hit of the three media, accounting for 20 of the 23 minutes of decline. Radio's erosion has been consistent over the past 5 years. In 1999, the average adult spent 3 hours and 15 minutes with radio each day. In 2003, that had dropped below 3 hours a day to 2 hours and 55 minutes. Time spent with television has dropped a mere 3 minutes over the past 5 years. Newspapers have been consistent at 47 minutes. And that's the article. And the question for our next Musings to the Members line? Well, what do you think is contributing to the decline? Why are people listening less? Give us a call on the Action Line at 419-224-1609 and let's talk about it. Robert Fetter, who is a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times, has written a couple articles in the Chicago paper concerning Clear Channel and traffic reports. And while these are really kind of strange, I thought you might find some interest in them. The first article reads, Mayor Daley may have obliterated Meigs Field last year, but now Clear Channel Radio wants to wipe out Chicago O'Hare Airport, at least from its traffic reports. In a move that has enraged and appalled staffers at all 7 Clear Channel stations in Chicago, the company is ordering its on-air talent to stop reporting Kennedy Expressway travel times to O'Hare, the landmark endpoint familiar to generations of motorists. Thanks to a year-long marketing agreement with Allstate Arena, the first under Clear Channel's Traffic Destination Rights Program, travel times are to be reported from downtown to the Allstate Arena rather than to O'Hare starting next week. The concert venue and sport facility, formerly known as the Rosemont Horizon, is located near O'Hare in the northwest suburb of Rosemont. The edict came in a memo this week from Barry Butler, general sales manager for Clear Channel Traffic in Chicago. Butler declined to say how much Allstate Arena was paying for the product placement plugs in traffic reports. He said, "Quite honestly, for commuters who take this route, this change makes much more sense. Since the significant majority of commuters are not going to and from O'Hare each day, it's from the area where the Allstate Arena is located," Butler wrote to Clear Channel staffers. He continues, "By the way, all the concerts that are booked at the Allstate are from Clear Channel Entertainment." The sinister implications of this corporate synergy are not likely to be lost on anyone. Continuing, "Any time that we mention the Kennedy Expressway travel times, it will be to and from the Allstate Arena, or for the cool people, the Allstate," he wrote. "I understand that for the first couple of weeks, this will be an adjustment for some. Old habits are hard to break. As such, I ask the marketing people representing Allstate for some patience with this transition." Unquote. In Chicago, Clear Channel owns the top four radio stations among its listeners between the ages of 25 and 54. WVAZ-FM 102.7, WGCI-FM 107.5, WLIT-FM 93.9, and WNUA-FM 95.5. And it also owns WKCS-FM 103.5, WGCI-AM at 1390, and WRLL-AM at 1690. And continuing with the second article written by Robert Fetter in the Chicago Sun-Times, the title of this article is "Traffic Plan Drives Listeners to Distraction." Clear Channel's plan to sell the content of its traffic reports and deliver traffic times on the Kennedy Expressway to Allstate Arena instead of O'Hare Airport incited some scornful reactions from Dan Fields. "As the Dean of Chicago Traffic Reporters, I have to comment on your column about Clear Channel Radio's Traffic Destination Rights Program. The Allstate Arena is not located on the Kennedy Expressway. It sits along the Northwest Tollway, 3 miles west of the Kennedy. The only way Clear Channel can get an accurate travel time on the Northwest Tollway between Lee Street and the Kennedy is to have someone driving back and forth with a stopwatch. I feel strongly it is wrong to have a sponsor dictate the content of any traffic or news report. The word payola comes to mind." From Don Perlman, "While Barry Butler, general sales manager for Clear Channel Traffic, may have made a few bucks for Clear Channel, this horrendous mistake in judgment will haunt him the rest of his professional career. He should change it while he can do it with some dignity." From Lynn Erlab, "Thank you so very much for your column about Barry Butler selling the listeners out to the Allstate. I will not be tuning in to any Clear Channel stations, and I certainly won't be attending any concerts at his precious arena. I've had it with the commercialization of everything, and this has just tipped the scales for me." From Brian Bell, "Barry Butler might be interested to know that the sensors in the pavement on the Kennedy actually measure times to O'Hare Airport, not the Allstate Arena, which is accessible by the Northwest Tollway. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard." From Dave Heller, "How stupid an idea by Clear Channel Radio to issue travel times to Allstate Arena. I can guarantee you that more than half of those listening won't know where Allstate Arena is." From Eric Slavin, "I'd say that Barry Butler should be lobotomized, but it's possible that the operation has already been performed." From Mike Percorno, "Sponsored traffic points, what a great concept, and a terrific revenue stream for the poor mega media giants who are suffering with just a 20-25% on the bottom line. I look forward to the day when I hear that drivers will experience a delay on Ashland Avenue between Cy's Crab House and Bert Wienerman's Ford because of a water main break, while it's 10 minutes on East 79th Street from the Dan Ryan to Harold's Chicken Shack, and in Elk Grove Village, Elmhurst Road is backed up to Oakland Street to Heavenly Bodies." From Peggy Trussis, "Evil companies do evil things. I would rather work for the devil than be associated with Clear Channel." From Gene Smiling Coyote, "I was rather shocked to read about this sellout." What else is there to say? And those comments came from Robert Fetter's column in the Chicago Sun-Times. I know a lot of DX Audio Service members also like to dabble in shortwave radio and some other modes of radio other than broadcast band. So this flyer which crossed my desk might be of some interest to you. It is the 17th annual Winter SWL Fest, sponsored by NASWA. That's the North American Shortwave Association. They're holding their get-together March the 12th through the 13th at the Best Western, formerly the Holiday Inn, in Sumneytown Pike, Culpsville, Pennsylvania. They write, plan to attend your favorite forums on Friday and Saturday, meet with your friends in the hospitality room, bring radio-related items for the swap meet, or donate to the silent auction. Check out your friends' receivers or bring one of your own for others to try. No frills, just shortwave, longwave, medium wave, pirates, and scanning. Once again, you'll enjoy the camaraderie of your hobby friends. Please note there's an incentive for you to pre-register, as prices are more expensive for those who just wait. Registration is open also for more flexible times than in the past, with a one-day and student registration rate. There's so many different rates here, I hesitate to go through, so you just might want to contact them. Checks should be made payable to the Winter SWL Fest. Register direct with the hotel for your rooms by calling the Best Western at 215-368-3800. For 2004, one special rate, $75 single or double. Tell the hotel staff that you're with the Winter SWL Fest to receive the special room rate. You must also make your reservation directly with the hotel to receive this rate. Reservations via the Best Western 800 number or webpage are not eligible for the rate. The Best Western, located on exit 31 of the Pennsylvania Turnpike Northeast Extension Lansdale Interchange, improved access to the south with the blue route. That's I-476. Ask for details. Limo service is available from Philadelphia International Airport direct to the hotel. Contact the Winter SWL Fest at Post Office Box 4153, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. And I just got off the phone yesterday with Scott Feibusch, who is planning an excellent convention for the 2004 National Radio Club Convention. For those of you interested in attending, the convention is going to be held in Batavia, New York. For those of you who may be geographically challenged, that's halfway between Rochester and Buffalo, give a few miles. And Scott's got some really good things lined up. In fact, the convention's going to be extended one day. There's going to be a special tour coming up on Thursday of some Canadian radio stations. I understand they're going to be touring the 740 facility and possibly the 1050 facility. Then on Friday, it will be a Buffalo tour with 550 and also 1520. And, of course, we have the usual stuff that we do. We'll have the auction, the business meeting, and a whole lot more. So you might want to scratch it down on your calendar, as these festivities are going to start on the 2nd of September. Labor Day is a little bit later than in previous years. 2nd of September is a Thursday, so that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and there's usually a few people hanging around on Monday. But should be a good time had by all. The National Radio Club Convention, it's the 76th convention, by the way, and we'll have more details on a future edition of the DX Audio Service. In Radio World Magazine, January 14th, is an article written by Niana Chernoff titled, Could Low Power Morph to AM? And it reads, low power advocates are now eyeing the AM band. The concept of putting low power stations on AM was proposed earlier to the Federal Communications Commission in the late 1990s. Now low power advocates are again calling on the commission to establish a new commercial service in the expanded portion of the AM band. FCC staff declined to address the petition specifics. They are reviewing a petition for rulemaking for proposed LPAM service submitted by engineer Fred Baumgartner. Baumgartner is a former broadcast engineer who serves as director of engineering at the Comcast Media Center in Littleton, Colorado. He filed his petition privately, not on behalf of Comcast. The proposed service, he said, could offer an option for increasing local broadcasting outlets in another way for communities to get on the air without having huge expense. Nicholas Leggett, who filed a petition advocating a low-power AM service in the late 1990s, following the earliest LPAM petition by attorney Christopher DiPaolo, said that the current political environment seems to be more open to a petition such as Baumgartner's. Because of the furor over the ownership issues, LPFM got a kick in the pants. It became a counterweight, Leggett said. The petition represents a compromise by several unnamed interest groups, engineers, and individuals who offered input on the proposal, according to Baumgartner. He is proposing a service in the AM band between 1610 and 1700 kilohertz, an area he and his fellow contributors believe would support a secondary service with minimum of interference to existing proposed full-power stations. The petition suggests that the FCC set aside power levels of 30 and 100 watts with a maximum tower height of 40 feet or both. Baumgartner's petition also suggests that proposed LPAM licensees be allowed on the air between 8 hours minimum and up to 85 hours a week maximum. To further encourage local broadcasting, LPAM stations would be required to be staffed by live or by an operator 60% of the time. But unlike LPFM, the plan for LPAM would allow for such broadcasters to support their operations by selling airtime and permitting underwriting. Many have responded, including some members of the Amherst Alliance, an advocacy group for media reform and low-power radio. In December, an affiliated group made up of some of Alliance's members and community radio supporters that called themselves the LPAM team, filed comments with the Federal Communications Commission supporting the Baumgartner petition. The LPAM team would like to change two major parts of the petition, the limited airtime restrictions and the minimum percentage of man time. The group wants to remove the proposed 85-hour limit to give licensees as much time on the air as possible to develop a financial base in which they can sell ad time. Time sharing, he said, would only be used in situations where there are two applicants competing for the same frequency, similar to the LPFM process. The 60% ceiling on manned airtime, according to the affiliate group's filing, should be eliminated as well because it would be onerous on station volunteers. If necessary, the group said, restrictions similar to the LPFM service could be instituted. The FCC requires LPFM broadcasters to produce at least 8 hours per day of local programming. The affiliate group also recommended to change LPAM from a secondary to a primary service to avoid displacement by full-power AM stations attempting to change frequencies and future long-distance AM translators. The LPAM team also proposed that the Federal Communications Commission consider allowing higher power levels, up to 200 watts, for stations in rural areas and larger mileage separation for areas of lower ground conductivity. The team also unanimously requested that the FCC create a formal agency framework to resolve any LPAM to LPAM interference disputes. And that article is from Radio World Magazine. And that's it for this edition of the DX Audio Service. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Remember, get out and support radio.